Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this moment and pray that your Spirit be present, completely in control, as you have been through this entire Sabbath school and church service. And Lord, especially keep Satan away now, so that what you are about to present to us, what you are about to challenge this fantastic church to step up even higher, will not cause anyone to be offended. So Lord, it's in your hands, but make sure that I present only what you tell me to present, because I don't want to be guilty of turning anyone off, Lord, because I did it my way instead of your way. So bless to this end, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps some of you know that this Wednesday will be the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's speech, I Had a Dream. This is a picture on the left of the huge crowd present on the Mall of Washington, on the March of Washington. What a beautiful picture. And folks, to set the stage for the sermon, how sad it is that a group of us in the United States had to protest in such huge numbers to get jobs and freedom in this country that has the Constitution that we have. This is shameful. And so I want to call attention to it so that we at the Paradise Churches Christian are never caught by surprise, because something very challenging is soon going to happen and we need to prepare for it now. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Matthew 25 as we look at On the Street Part 1. On the Street, Part 1, Matthew 25. Children, open your Bibles. Please turn with me to this beautiful parable that Jesus told that is especially and pointedly about the last days of Earth's history. The parable of the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25, and we're going to look first at verse 31 through 36. I guess I'm wrong. 38. 39. Oh, well, I'll just read it and I'll figure out when to stop. Okay, ready? When the Son of Man comes in all His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in, and naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it what? You did it to me. Wow, what a statement Jesus makes. When He comes in all His glory, He's going to have two groups of people. And on His right will be the sheep, and on His left will be the goat. And He will look at the ones on His right, and He will astound them by saying something that they go, wait a minute, we didn't even know we did that. Because Jesus claims, you did this to me. You clothed me. You fed me. You gave me water. You visited me. You brought me in. Lord, when did we do this? When you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. The least of these. This is a Greek word, a superlative of a word for short. Superlative of the word for short means super short. It means least in size, amount, and in dignity. It is time we come to grips with this term least. Because maybe some of us have just glossed over it, thinking, yeah, I understand it. But we really didn't stop and think about what the least is. Very little. Very small. Smallest. What did Jesus really mean by the least? So we're going to answer two questions today. And the first question that we're going to answer is this. Which are the sheep and which are the goats? Now I'm asking you. All right, I want you to tell me which are the sheep and which are the goats. But I don't want to hear a sound out of you. As I challenge your thinking right now in a way that maybe at church you've never been challenged before. Which are the sheep? Which are the goats? Don't tell me, but I want you to guess. Do you know? Of those I showed you, which one of those were sheep? And which one of those were goats? I guess for you, here's the right sheep, and here's the left goats. Before you answer, I want you to read this quote from Desire of Ages. The angels of heaven are sent for to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. We know not now who they are. It is not yet made manifest who shall overcome and share the inheritance of the saints in light. But angels in heaven are passing throughout the length and breadth of the earth, seeking to comfort the sorrowing, to protect the imperiled, to win the hearts of men to Christ and women. Not one is neglected or passed by. God is no respecter of persons. He has an equal care for all the souls He has created. Which ones were the sheep? And which ones were the goat? And the answer is, we don't know. We do not know. Which brings me to the second question, and I'm almost done with the sermon. Question number two. And that is this. What will you do when they show up at church? By the way, that's my friend Angel. I just met him at the club where I swim. he happened to be there, and I saw the picture of Jesus on his chest there. So I said, "Can I take your picture?" He said, "Yes." And he told me his story. He said, "I believe in God, and my name is Angel. My dad named me Angel, and I love Jesus, and I put it on my chest." And folks, I wouldn't do that. But Angel did. And what are you going to do when he comes to church? Now, we're closer to this than you think. Now, I need to say something to clarify here so that you know why God did this to you. Let me go back and get something very obvious. Young people and children, the Bible says don't do that. It's wrong. But there are children who have disobeyed their parents, they have disobeyed their teachers, and they have disobeyed their pastors, and they've done this. And then the Holy Spirit gets a hold of them, and they remember what they were taught, and suddenly they want to come back to church. What is the Paradise Church going to do when he shows up at the door? I hope so, but you know what? I even ask myself, do I really know? You know, God gave me this sermon. I didn't invent this thing. And obviously, if anybody here thinks I've ever preached this anywhere before. And I decided, without you, I'm going to go out to... Oh, man. I forgot the name of the street in downtown Las Vegas. It's Fremont. Thank you. And I'm going to start talking to people. And I'm going to put on a shirt and a pair of pants, maybe even blue jeans. In fact, it will be blue jeans. I'm not going to go there like this. And I'm going to talk to them. Like I talked to Angel. Because I want to be ready when God sends them here. I want to realize that they may have made stupid decisions that are stuck with them until Jesus comes a second time. But when he comes a second time, he will wipe all of that clean. In the meantime, he's looking for a place to bring them. He's looking for a place that will accept them. He is looking for people that will love them and nurture them while we protect our children from doing dumb things like this. Is the Paradise Church ready for them to come? And we want to remind, I want to remind my church, if you don't know me well enough yet, you need to hear this. You love the sinner but hate the sin. And they're all welcome here. But membership is held back until we see that they have truly accepted the Lord Jesus and understand what the Bible teaches. But until they get to that point, they're welcome here. Because these are the kind of people Jesus would be hanging around right now. And I'll prove that to you. Let me show you this. You know, the Sea of Galilee, the winds blow, the storms come. Sure that Peter, James, and John, they're all fishermen, they know what they're doing. But isn't it interesting the boat lands exactly at the spot where this naked, nasty man is running around, terrorizing the countryside, cursing words that are just horrible, cutting himself all over and bleeding, and naked as can be, and look at who touched him. Jesus. When did we see you naked, Jesus, and clothe you? When you did it to the least of these, my brethren. And then I'm so thankful for that picture that's found in the in the magazine book that's sold by our young people, and it's part of Christ Object Lessons. It shows Jesus talking to a woman that we would think He shouldn't be talking to. But look what Luke tells us. Luke 12 or 15. Verse 1 and 2. It says, you got Luke 15, everyone? Now, I want you to know, if you're having a hard time with these pictures, so did the scribes and Pharisees. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear Him. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. Now let me heighten the significance. You take your John, Matthew, Mark, Luke especially, and read, and most of the miracles in ministry is in Galilee. Now what's really interesting is the book of John really focuses a lot on Jesus' ministry in Jerusalem and the feast that He attended with some miracles, but the bulk of His time was spent in Galilee. And do you know what the attitude of the Israelites in Jerusalem was about Galilee? That was the ghetto, folks. That's where the riffraff lived. That's where all those tattooed creatures are. And why did He go there? Because they didn't try to kill Him like the religious leaders in Jerusalem. So where would Jesus be? Out on the street. No, we don't turn into like them. No, we don't have to dress like them. No, we don't have to smell like them. No, we don't have to paint ourselves like them. No, we don't have to think like them. But we have to love them because Jesus died for them. They're coming. They're coming. Let me tell you how I know. Any of you teachers out there, any of you psychologists and sociologists, they're coming. Because these people all cut up and marked and acting out are often the very ones that respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to come here. They may even come on the 9th of September. And God is going to test the Paradise Church, that when they walk through the door, you see a soul for Jesus and not the tattoos. Not the short skirt. I don't want no short skirts in this church, by the way. From the church members. The church members, hello. But when one comes through that door that isn't, we're going to welcome them. And slowly but surely, the Spirit will speak to them and they'll cover themselves. And if they ask us why we dress that way, we'll tell them. But we won't walk up and say, you know what? You're not welcome here dressed like that. And they would be the same people that said to Jesus, how dare you sit with these commoners in the marketplace? That she even rubbed up against you. Oh. Is paradise ready? I want to show you this is the upstairs lounge fire that occurred in June of 1973 in the French Quarter of New Orleans. Anybody know about the upstairs lounge fire? If you put upstairs lounge fire in Google it, and you'll get this. 32 individuals were incinerated in that fire. It was set by an arsonist. Well, that's not uncommon, is it? Except, you see, 1973, This was the home of the only church for gay people in the United States at the time. And yes, all 33 of those that were incinerated there were gay. And when I read the story, I was horrified to read that none of the churches were willing to rise to the occasion and allow them to have a memorial service to recognize the victims of the fire because of their orientation. And I thought, what would I have done if I was a pastor in 1973 in New Orleans? What would I have done? Would I have stood up for right principles to comfort people who are hurting? What did I just read to you from the Desire of Ages? Did you get that quote? Oh, papers everywhere. And certainly it's the last one I look at. Did you get this quote? It says here, "But angels of heaven are passing throughout the length and breadth of the earth, seeking to comfort the sorrowing, to protect the imperiled, to win the hearts of men to Christ." And not one church would open their doors to allow them to come and worship. To have a memorial service, 32 people killed. Today, this is the most heinous act against the community of gays ever in the history of the United States. And no one would help those people. Oh, please don't mix up the fact that what they're doing, if they're practicing, is sin. By the way, if you're a liar, you're just as bad as they are. Okay? If you're stealing, you're just as bad as they are. If you're cheating, you're the same. But when a group of individuals are hurting, that's when we are to reach out, even if we don't agree, because their presence here isn't going to make us dirty. The whole issue was with Jesus, was we then have to go home and do all these washings. So it's just better not to be around them. And Jesus came to be with people. And when they tried to kill him in Jerusalem, he went to Judea. He went to the ghetto. Are you ready? They're coming. And God's going to test us. And we're going to pass the test. Father in heaven, I pray that no one leaves this sanctuary today without thinking about this. Trying to imagine how each one of us would respond when that moment comes and the door opens and there stands one of them. Oh Lord, give us the eyes of Jesus. Give us the mind of Jesus. Give us the heart of Jesus. We just read that quote in Desire of Ages, which means if we welcome them, angels from heaven brought them there. And we are cooperating with angels sent by you. Help us, Lord, to pass the test so that they can come and hear this beautiful truth. And then you can clean them up, Lord. And they can find release and freedom. So bless us to this end. And thank you. You never fail nor forsake. And thank you that if this church wasn't going to stand up to the plate, you would not give us this challenge that you've given us today. We are honored, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.